Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show. Salutations, Guru Nation. Check that out. Salutations. Welcome to episode 220 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Busy. I almost thought we were in December, but it's been a busy November for sure, and it seems like a busy holiday season. Lots of exciting stuff for you guys. Announcements, news, things I've been up to coming up later. I'll save it for later, and later in a different episode, not this one. This one deserves a podcast of its own, and this is also on YouTube. Okay, so today we had our Site Owner Academy, and I did a shorter 1 minute or 2 minute video on this for YouTube, but I want to go in depth. This is why I like the podcast, because I can go in depth on topics that I've never covered or that I have covered, but cover them in a different context, share my opinion on a bunch of stuff that I think are important and pertinent, maybe, to at least hopefully they are. So this one came from a Site Owner Academy we did today, and one of the students in the Site Owner Academy actually asked a really good question. On the surface, it sounds like it's, you know, not a good question. It's just like a artsy type of question, very soft business skills type of question. But when you look into it further, it actually is a very good topic, because it goes deep into a lot of things, and it, I think it distills the most important aspects of what we do as research site owners. And that is, what is in a clinic name? What is a clinic name? So the answer, or there is no answer, but the question was, how important is it for patients to remember a research site name? And my answer was, remember that we research site owners are B2B, and that's business to business professionals first and foremost. That doesn't mean patients are not important. As a matter of fact, I think patients are the most important component of our entire industry. I think all sites should focus on patients. But when it comes to marketing, because this was really a marketing question, when it comes to marketing your site, all your efforts, or as many as you can when it comes to marketing, should be spent on business development, particularly business to business development, meaning you should be attracting as many sponsors and CROs as you can, and you should be attracting as many physicians to join your group as you can, whether they're PIs, whether they're sub-Is, whether they're going to be contractors, whatever. That's your focus as a research site. I wants you to focus less on recruiting subjects, as asinine as that sounds. But let me explain why. Okay. Number one, patient recruitment is extremely difficult. I don't think you should spend a lot of time trying to market to patients. I think what you should be doing is marketing to more physicians and let them market to your patients, or you assist them in marketing to their patients. Much more effective in my experience, much better use of your time. Not politically correct at all in this patient-centric world where that word is going around, patient centricity. It's a buzzword, it's going around. I'm not saying not to be patient-centric. We should, once a patient is in our clinic, we should do everything we can to make their experience so good that they want to keep coming back, and that's patient retention, right? And refer their friends or family or people they know. That's recruiting. None of that, again, none of that involves or has anything to do with what your clinic name is. Your clinic name, which is the superficial question that we can dive really deep down this rabbit hole on, should be, therefore, your clinic name should be something that will make a sponsor remember your site more. So I like to use geography, for example, West Hollywood Clinical Research, or your specialty if you have a specialty, or a combination of both, right? Like central nervous system of central nervous system studies of Atlanta. Okay, I'm just making one up. That's memorable and helpful for sponsors. It's also memorable and helpful for physicians you're reaching out to. Not necessarily memorable or helpful to patients. And here's why. The key word in that name, let's take West Hollywood Clinical Research. That's one of my sites. That's memorable for sponsors because sponsors know what clinical research means. So now what they don't know is where we're located, which now they will because it's in the name, West Hollywood. And it's helpful for physicians because most physicians do know what clinical research is, even though they may have some misconceptions about the technical aspects of it. But they do know, and then they're going to know where you're located as well. Patients, all they're going to know is West Hollywood. The general public has such little awareness about clinical research that the name is irrelevant, because if it's clinical research, that is the key word, okay? And they don't know that, and that's a tough, tough uphill battle to educate and raise awareness on clinical research. The industry as a whole should be doing that. Sites should be doing a little bit of that, but again, it's primarily through treating their current patients that are already in their studies well, so that they, those patients, can go out and be evangelists to their friends and family members and people they know, because that's how you really raise awareness, okay? So the industry as a whole should be doing a better job of raising awareness. There are advocacy groups for this. They should be doing a much better job. There's a lot of bureaucracy in those groups. There are pharma companies that have a vested interest in making sure that more patients get into studies. I mean, more so than the sites. They should be doing this. This is not a problem. Raising awareness for clinical research is not a problem that should be exclusively the responsibility of research sites, right? We have a lot of other stuff to worry about. What we should be worried about is the patients that we do have in our clinic, or the patients that we do have in our PI's database, get them interested in clinical research, educate them, and then have them do the work to the general public organically, right? Just like how a post goes viral. It doesn't go viral because the creator spams everybody they know. I mean, it could be how it starts. But the way it goes viral is everyone who gets it thinks it's so good that they send it to everybody that they know. And they do the same thing to everyone they know, and that's how something goes viral. Same thing with patients, okay? You get a physician, if you're a clinic, you get a physician to join you. You show them the opportunities in clinical research. You have them do studies with you. You educate them. Much easier to educate one person than it is 100. Educate them on research. Do the studies with them. Teach them how to get their patients in the studies. Teach them how to educate their patients, right? What you've done so far is B2B. That physician is another business, all right? That's what I mean by B2B, a business selling a service, in this case, to another business. I also want you to spend, you research sites, I want you to spend a lot of your time B2B on CROs and sponsors for getting studies, because you can't keep your physicians busy and you can't bring on more physicians if you don't have studies. So you need the studies, and you can never have enough to get the physicians, and you can never have enough to get the patients, and you can never have enough. But I don't want you to spend too much time on B2C stuff. What you should be doing as a site, and B2C is business to consumer, which in this case is the patient. Even though they're not consuming a study by paying for it, like in a traditional business, they are the consumer. They are the unknown. That's another differentiation between a B2B target and a B2C target. You know exactly who your target is when it's B2B. For example, if I need a neurologist in Costa Mesa, where I'm sitting right now, let's say I don't have a neurologist for my site, and I really need a neurologist because I have a study and I need a neurologist sub-I to refer patients to, for them to refer patients to my study. So therefore, I need to educate a neurologist in Costa Mesa, preferably, on clinical research. I can Google and I can find out 20 neurologists near my clinic. I know my targets. I have their names, I have their numbers, I have their address. If I want to really go deep, I can go on LinkedIn, I can go on their Twitter, I can go on their Instagram, I can go on their Facebook. I mean, I can find them. I can go door knock at their office, I can mail them something, I can email them something, I can call them, I can stalk them on social, right? I can do all of that, and I should do all of that. But I know who my target is. Same thing with when you want to study as a site. You just go on clinicaltrials.gov. Let's say you want a schizophrenia study. You just go on clinicaltrials.gov and you type in schizophrenia, active studies. We've done webinars on this. You will see the studies that are out there. You will see who the sponsors are. In some cases, you will see who the contacts are. Those are your targets, B2B. You cannot do that with patients. You simply cannot do that with patients in our industry. The closest you can get to that is if you have a physician and you go in their database and do it. But you should really have the physician or their staff do that and reach out to those patients in regards to research opportunities. So you need to train them on how to do that. And you need to make sure that they are doing that. And you need to make sure that they see the value in why they should be doing that. So you can do less of the making sure and just have it being done automatically. Because if somebody sees that there's a purpose for doing something, if a physician sees why and sees the benefits of referring his or her patients into his or her study, they're going to keep doing it. You're not going to really need to remind them much, although you should always follow up. Okay, so this really got me thinking. This question, which at first I was kind of laughing when I heard it, and I said, you know, a name doesn't matter. And it really doesn't. A name really doesn't matter. But if you're going to name your clinic, it should be something memorable. And think of the physicians and think of the sponsors and CROs first when coming up with a name. Don't think of the patients. I know that's not politically correct. I don't care. I'm not making these videos to be PC, right? I could care less about that stuff. Patient centricity is cool, and the way you get more patients involved is you get their physicians to refer them to you, and you, the way you do that is you get their physicians to buy into research, and the way you do that is B2B. And the way you even get to that point is B2B on the sponsors and CROs, so you can get the studies, so you can get the physicians, so that they can get their patients to you. So B2B, 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 always be thinking that the patients that you do have, you want to treat them exceptionally well, like the medical heroes that they are, because they are. So that's where patient centricity, in my opinion, comes into play. It's not the research site's job to raise awareness about clinical research to the general public. I think that's a exercise in futility. I think it's the research clinic's job to raise physicians' awareness on clinical research so that they can raise the awareness on their patients. Much more effective, much better use of your time. Of course, you're welcome to do anything you want. It's not the only way. Maybe you figure out a great way to raise awareness on clinical research patients. Hasn't happened. I've been in this industry for 15 years. Not that long. 13 years. Haven't seen it happen since I started. I've seen many come and try and talk a big game and say they're going to raise awareness and get entire communities involved in research. The best way that that happens is the patients and physicians referring the people they know. Physicians, of course, referring their patients because patients trust their doctors. And then other patients, once they understand research and join studies and are treated well and are not made to wait in the waiting room for hours before someone sees them in a study and are not just treated like numbers or subjects, but treated like actual patients, they will then go and raise the awareness. And that's your true job, in my opinion, as a research site. If you're a patient advocacy group, totally different. You are in the B2C industry. As a research site, even though we're both, we're really B2B. And that's the point of this podcast. And I think if you distill these fundamentals down to the core components, it's you're a B2B company. And by the way, if you're an employee or if you're somebody looking to get hired, you're all B2B. Interestingly enough, if you have zero experience, the quickest way to get the attention of a clinic, which is where most people should start when they're looking for an entry-level position in this industry at the research site, the way you, the individual, are most likely to get the attention of a clinic to intern there is to recruit patients. So you guys are actually B2C and B2B, right? So that's the only exception. But the sites should spend 80% of their time, of their marketing time, allocated to, I would even say higher, 90% of the time you allocate towards marketing activities should be B2B stuff. I'll allow you to spend 10% of the time trying to make a dent in raising the general awareness of clinical research in your community problem. Posting Craigslist ads, posting Facebook ads, going on the radio, TV, newspaper ads, those kind of things, right? Going to support groups. But focus 90% of your effort and your time on getting more physicians or reaching out to the physicians you already know. Maybe they're already your sub-eyes, and see why they're not referring their patients or how they could be doing a better job of referring their patients, how you can help them do that. That's really where you should spend your time. And of course, also on getting studies. So that's it. Short podcast, short video. Wanted to talk to you about that. Let me know what you think. Maybe you think I'm way off. I don't know. I could be. But in my opinion, that's what makes sense to me. And that's what we're doing. So talk to you later. Thank you very much. Take care. It's going to be a great 2019, I can tell you that the industry is getting busier than ever. Take care and talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
So hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.